2020 regular meeting of Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Commission will now come to order. Please stand for the invocation by County Manager Lee Smith and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Heavenly Father and Creator of the universe, first of all, bless this board, bless the ones who are here. Aid us in making decisions that are right for the citizens and the businesses in our community so we have a fruitful community. Be with our, all of our community, our emergency workers, first responders, be with our elected officials. And we ask that you bring your power upon us, your compassion and your forgiveness to all of us, because we all know we fall short of the cross every day. In this we pray, in Jesus Christ, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated. There's a sign-in sheet near the door of the hearing room. Please sign the sheet to record your attendance at today's meeting. For those of you who would like to speak, we ask that you sign one of our blue speaker cards. Give the blue speaker card to a staff member at the front table so we can call your name at the appropriate time. There are agendas on the table outside near the door of the hearing room. Today's agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. To outline the order in which the meeting is conducted, each petition has a report presented by staff to the board, providing information on the petition. After the staff presentation, board members may ask questions of staff regarding the presentation for clarification. The petitioner is then offered to make a presentation regarding his petition to the commission. A time frame of 10 to 30 minutes is allowed for the petitioner's presentation. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that speaker cards are provided to the chairman if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is open for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you're not certain you want to speak, still provide a card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. The first item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Need a motion?
Motion.
All in favor, raise your hand. All opposed? Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. March 19th, 22 regular MPC meeting, 1:30 p.m. in the Arthur Mendoza Hearing Room, 112 East State Street. Development plans have been submitted for review. Items requested to be removed from the final agenda. Number four, rezoning map amendment, Diamond Causeway and Ferguson Avenue. I guess this is going to be put off to the next meeting. Do we have to vote on that?
They withdrew it.
Is anybody here that wants to speak on this item? Diamond Causeway and Ferguson Avenue. That item has been requested to be removed from today's agenda.
The item is going to be, or there's a request to continue the item. So at this point, it will be heard at the next meeting unless we get a withdrawal from the applicant. And that next meeting time is March the 19th.
Mm-hmm. So if you're here to speak on that item.
So if you're here to speak on that item, please know that the next meeting will be March the 19th. And by the way, it's the 19th versus the 17th because of St. Patrick's Day.
Right. Okay.
So.
Sorry.
Items requested to be withdrawn. Rezoning map amendment, Corvair Avenue, rezoned from RSF 6 to IL. This item has been requested to be withdrawn. Is anybody here to speak on that item? Do we need to vote on that one as well?
If you would like, I would vote on the items to be removed or continued, as well as the rezoning map amendment, just because it's on as part of the agenda. And you could do them both at the same time.
I guess we can vote on 4 and 5 at the same time.
That's correct.
Is it date certain to the next meeting?
Well, right now, it was March 9th. Right now, it was open-ended. So basically, since this is being postponed, we're giving it a date certain. Otherwise,
of the 19th.
If they do not come to resolution with some of the things they're working out, then we'll have another date. But in order for the public to have, you know, understanding about when this will next come up, we need to have a date certain.
All right. I need a motion on items 4 and 5.
So moved.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye. Opposed? Motion passes. The consent agenda, number 6, approval of February 4th, 2020 briefing and regular meeting minutes.
Motion.
Need a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Authorization of the bank resolution for services access to update operations of the MPC account.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Number 8, authorization for the executive director to execute First Amendment to the contract between Stagefront and the Metropolitan Planning Commission for audiovisual services.
I'll make a motion we approve with an explanation from the director as to what is authorizing.
If it'll please the board. Basically, we're asking for an amendment to the contract so that we could complete the installation of the audiovisual system for both the Serency room and the Mendoza room. When we initially went out on the state contract looking for vendors to complete this, we were getting a cost of about $150,000. We then put it out on the street. We got a bid back from Stagefront and one other vendor. Actually, Stagefront was the only one who submitted a complete price for $55,000, and this board approved that. During the installation of the system, Stagefront came back and said that they could complete all of the work for an additional $33,000. We looked at it and determined that was a fair price, and it would reuse some of the existing equipment that we have.
Any questions? Need a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion passed. One no. Okay. Number 9, authorization resolution to apply for a Georgia Department of Natural Resources Coastal Incentive Grant for the development of the Savannah Resilience Network.
Move to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Well, before we vote, can we just have a brief description for the public as to what this is?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay.
Okay, well, I will actually ask Kate, who is the planner that has been working on this the longest and has worked to put this grant together. This is done in partnership with CEMA and Georgia Tech and the other county and city representatives to go after some funding, so I'll let her spend a minute to tell you a little bit about it.
Thank you.
Hi. So we have put together a coastal incentive grant application to develop a regional resilience network to get key stakeholders from the counties in the region and the municipalities, some interested members of the public, to the table to talk about ongoing research efforts, existing data, planning efforts to address climate change and other weather-related issues that we will be facing. And also gaps in data research and planning efforts. We are going to hopefully build a website for this group to house all of this information and any outreach materials that we create. And the goal is to eventually develop a curriculum for elected officials in the region, policymakers, just to inform them on overall comprehensive plans and policies that can be put in place to address resiliency, but also day-to-day decisions that they can be making to make the coast a more resilient place. So we will find out in April if we
any questions? Get this grant. Need a motion?
Motion.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Regular business, rezoning map amendment, 824 Stillwood Drive, rezoned from RSF 6 to OIE.
All right. Good afternoon, Chairman and Commissioners. The request before you today is to rezone these four parcels from the RSF 6 zoning district to the OIE zoning district. The subject sites are located within the Windsor Forest community, and they house the Savannah Country Day School and its associated buildings. This is a legal non-conforming use. The petitioner has stated that the purpose of the request is to bring the parcels into conformity, to permit the expansion of the use and or its associated buildings without coming before the board for each expansion. Because the sites are located within RSF 6 and contain non-conforming uses and structures, what staff decided to do was to take a look at all other schools that were private in the community and do a comparison. So here you'll see the Benedictine Military School with minimal residential adjacency, also surrounded by community and business uses. And you'll see that that's pretty much the same for the Calvary Day School. And it's also the same for the Memorial Day School and the Savannah Arner Academy. But when we take a look at the requested for the site, the subject site, you'll see that adjacency is pretty much residential. So we decided, or we came to the conclusion, that the OIE zoning district and OI districts in general are too intense. They allow uses by right that are far too intense for this particular development pattern and would allow things such as event venues and high-density housing construction. The only restriction on these parcels is the road classification requirement. Staff believes that this does not impair the petitioner's ability to operate or expand its facilities. We also believe that this is not a true hardship when weighed against the public's need for notification of the future expansion of the legal non-conforming use. Therefore, staff recommends disapproval of the requested rezoning to the OIE district. I'm happy to take any questions.
Any questions? Mr. Noah?
Yes, ma'am. If you could, I believe you stated that there were four parcels.
That's correct.
And if you go back to the original map, is it not?
Let me explain what happened here.
Okay, because on that map, the next map, that one's not included.
That's correct. When the petitioner initially submitted their request, this parcel was part of the subject site, the subject requests. Upon review of their and some conversation with the petitioner, they decided to go ahead and remove this specific parcel from their request. So it will be these four parcels here only and not this one. You're welcome.
Any other questions? It's the petitioner here. State your name for the record, please.
Thank you. We're just going to get organized here in just a second. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Harold Yellen. I represent Savannah Country Day School. With me today is Mr. Kef Wilson, who's the current head of the school. He's been there since 2013. Also, Mr. Paul Presley, who was the head of the school from 1981 to 2004. They're here to answer questions, but I also have speaker cards if you prefer, and we can handle it that way. The petition before you today is to make the Country Day campus into a conforming NUZO district. We have specifically requested the OIE zoning district so that we will have the same zoning district as Benedictine, as Calvary Baptist, as Memorial Day School. To be fair, the analysis that was just shown to you was shown to you because we called the MPC and said, we've read your last report. Why are we not like the other schools, the other private schools? What's the difference? We feel like we should be like them. This is particularly true because we've been in this location since 1957. So we've been here for 63 years. The other schools, Memorial and Calvary and Benedictine, have not been in their present locations for nearly as long as we have been in our present location. Our property consists of 65 acres. When we began in 1957, we had 340 students in five buildings. Now there are 1,040 students in 21 buildings. And I've shown the master plan that we've got, our campus map, so you can see all the different buildings that we have. So to my knowledge, despite the fact that we've been in one location for 63 years, we are the only non-compliant private school in the city of Savannah. And I want to emphasize private school because public schools are not bound by your zoning ordinance. The Arts Academy in Ardsley Park can do whatever they want, whenever they want. They don't need to come before you. By being a non-conforming use, every time we do something, we're going to have to go to the Zoning Board of Appeals. We're going to have to wait and see if there's an appeal of what happens at the Zoning Board of Appeals, while Memorial and Benedictine and Calvary go straight to the building permit office to pick up their building permit. As noted by the staff, we are legal but non-conforming. And NUZO has identified non-conformity as an area that they've tightened up. And that's section 3.24.8, which says any expansion is very broad. If we add a canopy to our building, I don't know if we add steps to our building, whether that's covered, but any expansion of our conforming use can only be done with ZBA approval. We have, over the last years, we've constantly expanded our buildings. We have constantly renovated our buildings. It's part of our mission to educate students. So we're here today to say we don't understand staff's report to you. Despite the fact we've been there 63 years, despite the fact that I've been told that NUZO is supposed to have a zoning district that works for everybody, despite the fact that these other schools are zoned OIE, and despite the fact it was mentioned in the pre-meeting, but it was not mentioned right now, we are consistent with the future land use plan. The future land use plan says civic institutional. And I wanted to mention that because it was mentioned at the pre-meeting, but not here. We simply don't want to go to ZBA every time and don't feel that we should. The staff report seems concerned that the OIE may have other uses that are too intense for this location. These questions were never raised for any other school but Country Day. I would also ask that you consider, does anyone really believe that this site is really now going to make itself available for a hospital or a hotel or a laundromat or any of the commercial uses that we're fearful of? This is not raw land. This is not like we're about to go out and put up new buildings and you should worry about what we're going to put up. This is the campus we have. And all we intend to do is renovate and build new buildings because, candidly, we're in the education business. Staff is recommending that we be denied. We're candidly not sure why. No other school will be burdened with this requirement. We don't think we should have that burden. We would respectfully request that Savannah Country Day School be rezoned exactly the same as the other schools we've mentioned. If OIE doesn't work, please tell us what you think will work. Ms. Jarrett, I think you asked the question in the pre-meeting, why not OI? OI has a height limit of 35 feet. Most of our buildings are taller than 35 feet. Our auditorium is bigger than 35 feet. Our gymnasium is bigger than 35 feet. Some of our classrooms are bigger than 35 feet. We would like to be in the OIE, and I'm sure the other schools are in the OIE because their buildings are also bigger than 35 feet. This should have been taken care of when NUSA was approved. Somehow we didn't have any building plans on the table when NUSA was approved, because if we had, we would have spoken up ahead of NUSA and asked for an OIE like everyone else. So with that said, we'll be happy to answer any questions y'all may have, but we do respectfully request the OIE zoning classification. Thank you.
Any questions for the petitioner?
Mr. Yellen, you mentioned, and I'm not familiar with it, but you said, you made a comment of other schools, you named one specifically, that they can do anything they want.
Yes, sir. If you're in the Chatham County school system and you're a governmental entity, they will not need to go before Zoning Board of Appeals, even though, and I gave the example of the Arts Academy, smack dab in the middle of Ardsley Park, or the new school, the Habersham House, or Habersham School, right next to the park, Hull Park. No, sir, they will not be required to go to ZBA because they're not bound by the zoning ordinance. The private schools are bound by your ordinance, and as far as we could tell, we are the one and the only school that will be required to go to Zoning Board of Appeals for each and every turn. It's also conceivable, I mean, there's a time, there's an expense. Somebody may show up at ZBA and oppose us and appeal it and keep our expansions from ever happening because appeals, two lawyers make an appeal and something can be hung up for a very long time. We'd like to be able, because we've been there for just such a long time, to be able to go back and apply for building permits. I do want to mention one other thing, which I failed to mention. In the staff report, it says that this property is not near any other OIE, and that is not true. I don't think it was intentionally not true, but there is, right on the corner of White Bluff, there is an existing OIE, which is adjacent to our property. So I just wanted to point out, we're not coming out of the blue with this OIE. We're coming to you with the OIE because we have an adjoining property that's an OIE, and other schools are also OIE.
Yes, sir.
I have a question for staff. Just to clarify, this property, I guess that's where the old Heritage Park was. Is that OIE, the adjacent property?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Yellen, what's the discussion? I mean, have you ever talked about just going with a PUD?
I can't say that we have. You know, even if you look at Armstrong, now Georgia Southern, also an OIE, schools typically do go under that OIE.
I understand that, but that would be an option.
We could. It would have to be one of those things. I know the last PUD I did was for Eastern Wharf. And if you look at the very bottom, you'll see that we had 17 drafts before.
A lot more process. I agree.
It's hard getting to the basics of the PUD. I'm not opposed to it.
I know what you mean. I just didn't know. You know, because we're just hearing about it. I just wanted to check to see if you had talked to staff about that or anything like that.
Candidly, I have not.
Okay.
Our first thought was, we're so much like these other schools. you know, Seawright Drive versus Stillwood. Yes, on the map, one may be a collector and one's not a collector, but at the end of the day, we're similar sized scale acreage. We're so much like the others that just seemed to make sense to us.
Okay, thanks.
Long-winded answer, no, we have not looked at a PUD.
I don't have any speaker cards. Did you say you had some people that wanted to speak on the matter?
Well, Mr. Wilson and Mr. Presley are here to answer any questions. They have a lot more institutional knowledge than I could ever have about Country Day. But they're here to answer any questions. I think they're here to answer questions y'all may have. They were kind enough to join me, but if there are no other questions, we'll sit tight to see what else y'all may have.
Any other questions? Mr. Noah.
There's an ongoing maintenance and repair that involves working on buildings, but probably the last major repair was about 3 or 4 years ago to the little school. There are plans to do new buildings and renovation this year. There's a campaign on right now.
When was the new lower school built, and when was the new middle school built?
One of you like to come up and answer? I'm sorry, I did not go to Country Day. My children went to Country Day, so I don't have that history. So Mr. Paul Presley, who was head of the school from 1981 to 2004, I think he can answer your questions.
The year before I retired, we had a capital campaign that was successful. I'd hoped to see the Pink Palm built before I retired. It didn't happen. It was built the year after. 2005, and the lower school building was completed, I believe, in 2010, and I was really pleased it was named for me in 2015, to my great surprise. I never thought of myself as a lower school person. But
thank you, Dr. Presley. Needless to say, this school is making tremendous strides towards improvements and has no intention of moving out at any time soon.
That's about the surest thing that I can tell you. They have no intentions to move anywhere, and they're constantly looking to add buildings, expand buildings, renovate buildings. And so even if we do something in 2020, we might do something again in 2023 or 2025. So we're trying to get straight with NUSO. Candidly, this should have been done at the same time NUSO was approved. It just was not brought to our attention. So we're doing the best we can now.
Ms. Jarrett.
I do understand that you have a desire to go forward without coming in for a variance every time. I don't think, when I look at the pictures of the other schools versus your school, you are surrounded by residential with the one exception of this OIE. You don't have the road classification for an OIE. And it seems to me what I just heard was about every 5 years you want to build a building. That doesn't seem unreasonable to me to come in for a variance every 5 years for a new building.
That doesn't
include. And it certainly behooves the neighborhood. If I were a neighbor out there, I would certainly want to know if there were a new building going out up in there. So
I would respectfully disagree. We're not talking about just new buildings. We're talking about renovating existing buildings, talking about adding awnings to a new building, which is an expansion. The list of what could be characterized as being ZBA a requirement goes on and on and on. One of the schools I didn't mention, the JEA, I stood before the MPC asking for an OIE so that they could have preschool there. The JEA to the north is residential, across Bull Street is residential. Cavalry butts up to residential. Benedictine does not. Memorial certainly butts up to residential. If we're looking at who has more residential, Yes, we may have more residential, but it's not like there isn't residential associated with all of these schools. Or if you get to something like the Savannah Arts Academy, which is literally in the middle of all residential, I think what makes us different is we've got 67 acres. We've got so much property to work with. We have no intentions of putting a building on the property line. As the OIE will have setback requirements, it's not like we don't have things that are required of us under the OIE. All of that still comes into play, including setbacks and buffers and all the things you would expect. The piece, though, that doesn't make sense is, why do these other schools go straight to building permit and we're going to be going to Zoning Board of Appeals every single time? By the way, in most instances, we were there before the residences got there. I read an old historical piece. We were master planned along with Windsor Forest.
The older schools, though, have, or the other schools have road classifications which lend themselves to an OIE designation. You do not, do you?
According to staff report, no, but I'm not sure I know the difference. Seabolt, is it Seawright for Benedictine? It's a very narrow little road that runs from Waters Avenue down to Eisenhower. On the street map, for whatever reason, White Bluff Road is a collector, and when it gets by Country Day, it just stops, and they wiped it out and said you're no longer a collector. Windsor Forest on Largo, to make NUZO work, they made parts of Largo a collector by Windsor Forest, and then you leave Windsor Forest and it goes back to being a no-name road. There are road fictions throughout the city, and it seems to me that the road is but one component of whether something should be an OIE or not. Why don't we look at the student body? Why don't we look at the number of acres? I mean, there are so many other things to look at, but at the end of the day, your concern should be, what are we going to put on this property besides schools?
Yes, it is.
And the answer is, we're not going to put anything on this property besides schools because we've been doing this for 60-something years, 63 years, if I did my math right. And so I don't understand why you're not concerned about the JEA putting a pharmacy or a grocery store is not permitted, a laundromat on their property next to 67th Street, and you're not concerned about Calvary doing it next to those residential, but you're concerned about this one. I think at some point, you have to just look at the facts before you and say, these guys have been here, and they were really here first, but they've been here for a really long time. Do we want to make it easy for the educational process so that they can expand and they can build and they can renovate? Are we trying to make it hard on them? I see no reason to make it any harder. For those of you who've been through the building permit process, I would say to you, we shouldn't be making it any harder when schools want to expand and grow. And that's been our point from day one.
I have a question for staff. Was this property advertised properly?
I understand correctly, it was in January for the first meeting, correct. But I think that the petitioner should speak to that.
And lastly, feedback from the surrounding properties.
I did receive, I believe it was 2 telephone calls from individuals who live within the community. They did not express, they were not against or for. They were not opposed. They were just inquiring as to what the request was.
And just for clarity, you said in the community, not necessarily an adjoining property owner.
That is correct.
I apologize, Mr. Noah. I was not there. My son was there. But there was a neighborhood meeting. There was concern about whether this property was going to include the church that is an adjoining property owner. We have since, we are no longer under contract for that piece of property, and I'm sorry, I promised the woman sitting behind me that I would state from the podium, that piece of property is not part of this petition. We've pledged that. We want to state it for the record. So most of the concerns, according to what I've heard secondhand, was please don't bring that church in, and it is not part of this petition.
And that was the property I questioned earlier?
Yes, sir. It is not part of what is before you today.
Anyone else to speak on this petition? Someone said this lady had a blue card.
Me?
You're not here to speak on that?
No.
Okay. Any other questions? Guess we need a motion then.
I'm sorry, it's OIE.
OIE.
OIE, sorry.
EIEIO.
OIE.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, raise your hands. All opposed? How many? You got four and four against, right? The motion fails.
I'm reconsidering.
Okay, all right.
If I have to vote, I will vote in favor.
Okay, that's five in favor and four against. The motion passes.
Thank you for your time.
Next, demolition of a contributing building, Callum Brownsville Historic District. They're not going to move, I promise you that. They got too much invested in that property.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This request is for the demolition of the residential building located at 905 West 40th Street. The historic building was constructed in 1925 and is a contributing structure within the Kyler Brownsville Historic District. And I think it's just going to take a moment to load. And I can pull up some photos of the building. All right, there we go. Okay, so this building was constructed in 1925 and is a contributing structure within the Kyler Brownsville Historic District. This building's roof has collapsed and the building is in extremely poor condition. At Recorder's Court on August 28th, 2019, the court ordered that the city shall have the structure demolished. The court found that the building is dilapidated, structurally unsound, unsafe, unsanitary, dangerous to human life, and constitutes a hazard to safety and health by reason of inadequate maintenance, dilapidation, and abandonment. The heirs of the property's owner have consented to the demolition. The staff recommends approval for the demolition of the building at 905 West 40th Street as requested, because the building is in extremely poor condition and has received a court order for demolition because the existing condition has proved to the courts to be an imminent threat to public health and safety. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions to staff? Looks like it had a fire, according to this picture. Was there a fire in the building at one time?
There might have been.
That second picture looks like it burnt roof to me. Any other questions of staff? Anyone here to speak on this issue? Introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Officer Joshua Downs with the City of Savannah Code Compliance Department, and I am actually the one who's put in the request to demolish the property. I'm in agreement with it needing to be demolished, but I can answer any questions that you might have about the property.
Was there a fire here at one time?
There wasn't a fire. There was just a complete... it just wasn't taken care of. At one point, the department had to condemn the property because one of the heirs was living in it with no power or water. And then just throughout time, it's fallen through and gotten to the state that it's in.
And the owners are completely aware of what's going on?
The registered owner's deceased, and it never went through probate action. The living heirs... the daughter of the registered owner is in her 90s. She's unable to do any of the work, and so they've consented to letting us go through the process.
Any other questions?
So who's the owner?
Grandpa's Daughtry is the registered owner of the property. However, the only daughter that's still living is Evelyn Daughtry, and she's in her 90s.
Is there no other family members?
Evelyn has two daughters, one of which wants nothing to do with it, and the other one is not in a position to maintain the property at all or go through the probate process.
So what happens when if we demolish it? Somebody can buy the land, or is the land going to be for sale?
So what will happen? Grandpa's Daughtry will remain listed as the owner. There is the potential that it could then go through to tax sale, that someone can purchase the land.
Is there tax owed on the property now?
Yes.
Yes.
In the tune of what?
I don't have a total.
Many years.
I was at a community meeting in Caleb Brownsville a week ago, and they were talking about gentrification. Well, we have to accept responsibility when we don't do what we need to do. But this just makes me ill.
Well, there is a court order. Any other questions? Mr. Noah?
If you're entertaining a motion.
I need a motion.
Motion to allow demolition per the court order.
Any discussion? All in favor, raise your hand. What's that?
Did you ask for public input? Is what they were asking?
Oh, yeah. That's why he showed up.
Yep.
Okay. Please raise your hand. Vote in favor. All opposed? Motion passes.
Thank you.
Any other business come before
What's
this commission?
What's the address of this problem?
Yes.
I wanted to take the opportunity to give you a bit of an update with regards to our computer systems. The Sages system's been operating on their hardware for over 10 years, probably more like 12 to 13 years. And with this latest schedule update, the system basically crashed. And we've been working on dealing with repairs, upgrades, things of that nature. But it is no longer viable. So we're going to end up having to get a new system, and I'll be coming back to you at the March 19th meeting with more information on this. But just so you know that at the completion of the update, the virtual machines and related SAN were no longer recognized by the system. After further investigation, it revealed by both HP and Microsoft, so we contacted them to find out if they had anything to do based on this last update, that the SAN system was no longer viable. It was obsolete, and that we would need to replace it. So right now, we're preparing for a phase plan to allow us to return to standard operations, and we are also at the same time working on coming up with a proposal so that we can have a 24/7 system allowing future hardware and software upgrades. So that's something that if you have had some disruption with getting into Sages or if you've had some issues with it, I just wanted to let you know that with this latest update, the system just didn't recognize Sages, and we've been working on a bunch of workarounds, but that's no longer viable. So I just wanted to let you know in case you get some phone calls or questions about why the system is either operating very, very slowly because we're moving stuff to other servers, that's what's happened.
Okay. Any other business? Need a motion to adjourn?
Some.
We adjourn.